the nightmare. And he was wielding a lightsaber unlike any she had ever seen in the stories she had read. Its beam was an intense burning red, like a controlled flame. And near the hilt, a pair of shorter beams shot outward, perpendicular to the main shaft. She fired again and again. Each shot from her blaster, he deflected with the lightsaber's beam. Almost as if it were a game, she thought in terror, as she continued to fire. He was playing with her. Until, evidently, he tired of it. He raised a hand, held it toward her, palm outward. As she inhaled sharply, her hand froze on the blaster. She tried to turn, to run, but her legs refused to respond. She could only stand there among the trees, taking in slow, measured breaths as he came toward her. Halting an arm's length away, he studied her face from behind his mask. When he finally spoke, he sounded at once impressed and surprised.
"You would kill me, knowing nothing about me."
Finding that her mouth and lips worked, she replied defiantly, "Why wouldn't I kill you? I know about the First Order."
"I would say otherwise. But that is a small thing. Simple ignorances are easily remedied."
As he spoke, he walked slowly around her paralyzed body. Frightened, she tried to follow him with her eyes, but her head would not turn.
"So afraid. Yet I should be the one who should be scared. You shot first. You speak of the Order as if it were barbaric. And yet it is I who was forced to defend myself against you."
Having circled her, he moved even closer, peering into her face, her eyes. Then the red lightsaber he held came up, close to her flesh, close enough to cast a red glow on her skin.
"Something."
He sounded mystified.
"There is something. Who are you?"
Reaching the outdoors after having worked their way through mounds of debris, Han and the others kept to the cover of collapsed stone walls as they took stock of their surroundings. Maz turned to Finn.
"Go. Find the girl and the droid."
He looked back the way they had come.
"Lost my blaster. I need a weapon."
Displaying surprising strength for one so small, Maz grabbed the wrist holding the lightsaber and raised it up.
"You have one!"
He stared down at her, then at the saber. Did she really expect him to use the old ceremonial weapon? Blasters he knew, and pulse rifles, but he had never held a lightsaber in his life. Nor did he know anyone who had. Still, if Maz Kanata had that kind of confidence in him... He activated the device, admiring the lethal beam. It made an excellent target for the stormtroopers who opened fire on them. Taking cover, Han and Chewbacca returned fire. No one noticed the troopers who had come up behind them, except Finn. Charging, he surprised one trooper with the glowing blade of the lightsaber, then another... A third came at him with a close-quarters weapon, and the two locked in combat. Despite lack of any training with a lightsaber, Finn was athletic and courageous. In tandem with such traits, the saber made him a formidable fighter. Shutting down and belting his lightsaber, Ren contemplated his immobile captive. Reaching up slowly, he touched her face. The pressure he applied was not physical. Refusing to meet his gaze, she looked away, straining with the agony of resistance, hardly daring to breathe. If only she could get a hand free, a leg! But no part of her body responded to her commands. surprised by what he was finding, Ren lowered his hand. Relieved of the mental intrusion, she sucked in great, long drafts of air. His brows drew together, and a reluctance to believe his own findings colored his comments.
Is it true, then? You're nothing special, after all. You're just a Jakku scavenger.
How did he know that? She agonized as she stared back at him. Surely she hadn't thought it. She tried to keep her mind blank, her memory locked. And still, he had wormed his way in. He touched her anew. This time the pain of trying to stave him off brought tears streaming down her face. He was within her mind and her thoughts, and there was nothing, nothing she could do to keep him out, to resist. Oh, but she kept trying, trying.
You've met the traitor who served under me. A minor annoyance grown larger than he deserves. You find him more than tolerable.
He drew back slightly, bemused.
You've even begun to care for him. A weakness, such distractions.
Suddenly, he put his face so close to hers that they were almost touching.
You've seen it. The map. It's in your mind right now.
She could hardly swallow as she strained to pull away from him. Anything to pull away, to get him out. She wanted to scream, but he would not allow it. The trooper who had engaged Finn was big, strong, and agile. Finn realized the fight would have long since been over if not for the trooper's regard for the lethal potential of the lightsaber. That didn't stop him from finally knocking Finn to the ground and raising his own weapon for a killing strike, only to fall backward, shot before he could deliver the blow. Rolling over, a relieved Finn saw Han racing toward him, blaster in hand, with Chewbacca not far behind. The older man reached down, and an unexpectedly powerful grip helped Finn to his feet.
You okay, big deal?
Finn had to grin at that.
I'm okay, yeah. Thanks.
They were interrupted by the sudden appearance of a dozen stormtroopers, acting in concert and with weapons aimed atop a nearby mass of debris. Han started to bring his gun around, hesitated. The odds sucked.
Drop the weapons,
the lead trooper ordered.
Now!
Surrounded by blasters, they had no choice but to comply. One trooper made a beeline for the lightsaber and picked it up. Han's thoughts were racing as a second squad of troopers appeared behind them.
How are we gonna get out of this one? There's too many of them,
he muttered to Chewbacca. When no reply was forthcoming, he added,
Any ideas?
The Wookiee moaned a terse reply, to which Han responded with a half-sneer,
Very funny.
Heads on heads! Let's go!
The lead trooper gestured in the direction of a parked transport.
Try anything, and I'll shoot your legs off.
They didn't try anything. There's a time to take chances, and a time to wait for opportunity, Han knew. What he didn't expect was that the latter would put in an appearance so soon. He had never been so happy to see a squadron of X-Wings. Accompanied by other attack craft, the familiar shapes came in low and fast, roaring over the lake and the forest as they blew apart the First Order ships whose pilots, feeling themselves secure, had nearly all landed their craft in the vicinity of the destroyed castle. A perplexed Chewbacca barked his surprise at the unexpected appearance of the non-Republic ships.
It's the Resistance!
Han yelled, as hope surged within him. Marked in black, one particular X-Wing swooped in dangerously low, attacking a treetop level. Blast after blast took out parked TIE fighters, clusters of troopers, and support vehicles. Whoever was piloting was skilled enough to fire repeatedly without wasting a single energy burst. As the captives dove for cover, another blast scattered their captors as they tried to fight back, armed only with hand weapons. When the dust cleared enough for them to see, the three rose, and Han and Chewbacca recovered their weapons. Reaching for a trooper's blaster, Finn hesitated. It took him a moment of searching to find the dropped lightsaber. Turning his gaze skyward, he followed the black-stained X-Wing as it looped around in an impossibly tight arc, coming back for another run.
"That's one hell of a pilot," he commented.
"Yeah?"
Han yelled as he beckoned to the younger man.
"How about you appreciate the maneuvers from behind cover before you get your admiring self shot?"
At the sound of nearby explosions, Ren ceased his probing. But he did not remove his hand from Rey's face as he turned toward the now ruined castle. She remained standing before him, unable to move, gazing blankly into the distance. A clutch of stormtroopers, breathing hard, came toward him through the trees.
"Sir!"
the leader gasped, his alarm and dismay evident.
"Resistance fighters!"
Ren considered. Though he was not technically in charge of battlefield decisions, no officer would attempt to overrule any decision he chose to make.
"Pull our troops out. We have what we need."
The squad leader saluted, lingered a moment to look on in fascination, as at a gesture from Ren, the young woman standing motionless before him collapsed. And then he hastened to relay the command, lest his interest in something that was none of his business be noticed. He had no wish to join the woman on the ground in a state of oblivion. The black-marked X-Wing swooped low to take out yet another TIE fighter still on the ground. The retreating stormtroopers rushing to board their transports were easy targets for the castle survivors. Two, running from the furious defenders, were taken out by Finn, using a recovered blaster. As he looked around for more stragglers, Finn found his attention drawn to a singular figure striding through the edge of the forest. He almost looked away before catching sight of and identifying the burden the cloaked officer was carrying into a shuttle of atypical design. Finn's spirits plunged. "Rey!" Ignoring the fire of retreating stormtroopers, paying no attention to the blast that gouged the dirt around him, Finn raced toward the shuttle, only to watch helplessly as it lifted off and rose toward the clouds. Irrationally, he tried to follow the dark spot as it rose higher into the sky, running beneath it until it shrank to a dot and then finally disappeared.
"No, no, no, no! Rey! Rey!"
Ascending, other First Order ships formed up in the wake of the shuttle, creating a tight escort to seal it off from any pursuit. Utilizing oculars far more sensitive than those of any human, BB-8 tracked the battle group until it had reached even beyond his sight, lost at the edge of space. The droid paused for a moment, pondering. Out of breath, tears glistening on his cheeks, Finn slowed as he drew alongside Han.
"He took her!"
Finn managed to gasp.
"He took her! Did you see that? She's gone! Rey's gone!"
Reaching out, Han shoved Finn aside without meeting the younger man's gaze.
"Get out of my way!"
Knocked off balance, Finn slowed to a stop, stunned, his eyes fixed on Han's retreating back. He was too shocked to know how to respond. As he stood staring, he noticed Maz a short distance away, speaking to BB-8.
"Yes, it's true. They have Rey now," Maz said. "But we can't give up hope."
She looked down at the droid, who beeped forlornly.
"Go," she told the droid. "Share what you have with your people. They need you."
Finn walked over to her, and together Maz and Finn watched the droid roll off.
"Looks like I've got some cleaning up to do,
Maz said. Then the diminutive smuggler looked up at him and smiled in satisfaction.
"Oh, wow. I see something else now.
See what?
Finn asked.
I see the eyes of a warrior.
Han waited until the resistance transport had settled itself completely before approaching the main access. His attention fixed on the portal. He looked away only to nod down at the round figure of BB-8, who had rolled up beside him. The droid's presence confirmed Han's expectations. He would be surprised if either of them had guessed wrong as to who was going to exit the transport first. However, he was willing to be surprised. He wasn't. Husband and wife stood regarding each other for the first time in years. Amid the smoke and drifting embers, neither said a word. Emerging from behind the figure in the portal, C-3PO walked out into the scorched field to confront the motionless droid beside Han.
BB-8, come here. I'm here to assist you in translating what...
It took a moment for the countenance of the man standing beside the spherical droid to register on C-3PO's preoccupied consciousness. A visage changed by time and altered by experience, it required a bit of additional visual processing before the protocol droid was able to link it to the images in his memory.
Oh, Han Solo! It is I, C-3PO! You probably don't recognize me because of the red arm.
Turning to the woman standing in the transport threshold, he continued excitedly.
Look who it is! Han Solo! Isn't that... Excuse me, General. Sorry. Come, BB-8. We need to settle on a procedure for debriefing.
The two droids moved off. Chewbacca found an excuse to study the configuration of a grove of nearby trees that had somehow survived the recent conflagration. Breaking the awkward silence, Han finally spoke to Leia.
You changed your hair.
Her gaze dropped from his face.
Same jacket.
No, new jacket.
Unable to stand it a moment longer, Chewie gave in to emotion. Stepping forward, he wrapped Leia in a warm embrace that momentarily resulted in her disappearance within a mass of fur. Letting her go, he moaned a few words that contained far more depth of feeling than would be apparent to an outsider unfamiliar with the Wookiee language, and boarded the transport. Left alone again, husband and wife also embraced. Han murmured over her shoulder.
I saw him. He was here.
Hearing this, she closed her eyes. They let the silence take them. Dakar's terrain was green and verdant, with flourishing trees that put those on most worlds to shame in size and appearance. Careful not to damage a single one of the immense, unique growths, the Resistance Squadron put down between them. Grassy mounds, camouflaged hangars, and other structures. Resistance techs were everywhere in evidence, repairing damaged craft, running cables, cleaning and refurbishing. The base was a hive of activity, nearly all of which was hidden from above. One restoration team was hard at work on the parked Millennium Falcon, an ugly duckling among the sleeker X-Wings and support craft. The sight of a singular figure in the cockpit of an X-Wing that had just landed sent Finn running. Fast as he was moving, he was no match for BB-8. Rolling at maximum speed, the droid nearly knocked him down as it shot past him in its haste to reach the fighter with the black insignia. Its canopy was already open. The pilot had removed his helmet and was chatting with one of the techs as he descended from the cockpit. Poe Dameron. No wonder, Finn thought, he and the others had marveled at the pilot's skill during the course of the counterattack at Maz's castle. This was clearly, indisputably, the best pilot in the Resistance. His presence, however, defied reason. Finn just stared at him, hardly believing what he was seeing. Kneeling and chatting with BB-8, the pilot was nodding at something the droid was saying. It took him a moment to look up and glance to his right. The expression on his face when he recognized Finn was no less astonished than that of the ex-trooper. Smiling, he rose and gestured as Finn continued toward him. For a moment, they just stared, each overwhelmed to find the other alive. Finn could only shake his head in wonder.
"Poe," he said. "Poe Dameron. Best pilot in the Resistance. I can attest to that because I got to see him in action. Hell, I was in action with him."
"Finn!" the other man shouted with a grin.
"Bravest trooper in the... well, ex-trooper."
They embraced, then stood back from each other.
"You're alive!"
Finn's observation was heartfelt.
"So are you,"
Poe countered, adding the unnecessary. Finn studied him intently.
"You look like you're in one piece. I can hardly believe it. I thought you were dead, shot up in that TIE fighter we stole. I ejected. When I finally found the wreckage, I looked for you. Pulled your jacket out of your ship before it got swallowed by the sand. What happened to you?"
"I wasn't dead. Just momentarily out of it," the pilot explained. "Came around long enough to see that you had got out. Pulled out of the dive just long enough to set down. Hard. Impact threw me clear. Woke up at night. No you, no ship, no nothing. Went looking, in the wrong direction. Got picked up by some itinerant trader." He grinned. "Tell you all about it sometime." A plaintive beep caused him to turn and look down.
"BB-8 says that you saved him."
Finn eyed the droid.
"It wasn't just me."
A slow smile spread across his face, and his eyes twinkled.
"Tell you all about it sometime."
"Either way, you completed my mission." Poe gestured at the surroundings.
"BB-8 is here, where he was supposed to come all along. And you saved my jacket."
Finn started to slip out of it.
"Oh, sorry. Here."
Poe grinned anew.
"No, no. Just kidding.
You keep it. It suits you." He held up an arm.
"I've got a new one. Suits me."
His tone turned somber.
"You're a good man, Finn. The Resistance needs the help of more like you." "Poe, I need your help."
The pilot shrugged.
"Anything." "I need to see General Organa," Finn told him. "Can you manage that?"
Buried deep in the native vegetation, the base command center was staffed by guards at multiple levels. The readily recognized Poe, however, had no difficulty proceeding deeper into the complex, or bringing his friend with him. When they arrived at the conference room, they found Leia conversing earnestly with a number of senior Resistance officers. From his training, Finn recognized among the prominent admirals Datura and Akbar. All looked over as the two younger men entered. Without hesitating, Poe moved directly to Leia.
"General Organa, sorry to interrupt, but..."
He indicated his companion.
"This is Finn, and he needs to talk to you."
Excusing herself, she turned away from the officers and directly to Finn.
"And I need to talk to him."
She took Finn's hand. She had, Finn mused as he gazed back at her, dark eyes that had seen too much.
"That was incredibly brave, what you did. Renouncing the First Order is almost unheard of. To do that, and then to compound the risk by saving this man's life, marks you as..."
Clearly, she had been fully briefed about Finn's exploits. Not that any of that mattered. Not now. Anyway, he had grown immune to compliments he didn't think he deserved. What was important was that every passing moment had become precious to him. Otherwise, he could never have imagined interrupting someone like General Organa.
Thank you, ma'am, but I'm here to talk about a friend of mine who was taken prisoner during the clash on Takodana.
She nodded understandingly.
Han told me about the girl. I'm sorry.
That startled Finn. But before he could comment further, Poe jumped in. There was little he wouldn't do to help Finn, but the needs of the Resistance had to outweigh everyone's personal concerns.
Finn's familiar with the weapon that destroyed the Hosnian system. He worked on the world where it's based.
Leia's excitement was palpable.
You worked on the weapon itself?
No, Finn demurred. I'm a trooper, not an engineer or a physicist. But I've had some tech training, and in the course of that, everyone was told the purpose of the base. I can't tell you how the weapon functions. The science is beyond me. But I do know where it is, or rather, where it's controlled from.
No reason to keep that a secret from the people guarding it, Poe pointed out with quiet glee.
Since stormtroopers never defect.
We're desperate, Leia told Finn, for anything you can tell us. Until the Hosnian system was annihilated, we didn't even know such a weapon existed.
It's located on the world that serves as the First Order's main base, Finn told her. I'm sure that's where they've taken my friend. I need to get there fast.
I'll try to help you, she replied. You have my word. I'm sure you understand that because of what happened to the Hosnian system, right now the Resistance has other priorities. But if they happen to coincide...
Leia paused, and Finn got the impression that his urgency to find someone was something Leia understood all too well.
Then we'll do our best to find your friend, she finished.
She indicated the nearby group of officers.
Right now, I need you to tell Admiral Akbar all you know. Everything you can remember about the First Order base, down to the smallest and seemingly most insignificant detail.
She paused again for a moment, lost in thought.
The girl,
she inquired, her voice strengthening.
What can you tell me about her that might help us locate her? What's her name?
Finn struggled to contain his emotions.
Rey.
A strong voice, not human, rumbled behind Finn. Turning, he found himself staring back at the widely set eyes of Admiral Akbar.
Come with me, young man. I wish to hear everything and anything you have to say. And myself, I have a great many questions to ask you.
Sitting up on the scanner bed in the med center, Chewbacca was quiet as Dr. Colonia worked on the Wookiee's injured shoulder. Dark of hair and eyes, with a kindly demeanor, the physician was far more adept than Finn had been, and the device she was employing could not be felt even while it was in use. As the lingering pain faded, Chewie growled appreciatively at the doctor.
You're most welcome.
The Wookiee looked over and down at himself. All signs of the wound had nearly been erased, at which sight he groaned softly.
That sounds very scary,
Colonia commented as she worked. Another series of gentle moans.
Yes, you're very brave.
Chapter 14. The search had taken BB-8 some time, but he finally found what he was looking for. Or rather, who? Or maybe both, since an intelligent droid technically qualified as both a who and a what. In the dark, dusty storeroom, he rolled over to the R2 unit and beeped a greeting. The transmission sequence too rapid and too exhaustive for any human to follow. It didn't matter. There was no response from the immobile R2 unit. BB-8 tried again, utilizing a different droid language. When that also failed, he moved forward and gave the other mechanical a forceful nudge. Like everything else, that too failed to generate a response. Observing the unsuccessful interaction, C-3PO came forward out of the shadows.
You're wasting your time, I'm afraid. It is very doubtful that R2 would have the rest of the map in his backup data.
When BB-8 queried the protocol droid, C-3PO responded without hesitation.
He's been locked down in self-imposed low-power mode. He just hasn't been the same since Master Luke went away.
A new voice, that of a human this time, called to them. BB-8! In response, the spherical droid reluctantly rolled over to the officer who had interrupted.
General needs you.
Beeping a polite farewell to C-3PO and a final thought to the silent R2-D2, BB-8 followed the officer out of the storage area. Behind them, C-3PO bent over his old friend.
Oh, do try and cheer up, R2. This enforced immobility is no good for you. Your cognitive circuits will atrophy from lack of use.
His affable urging proved no more effective than had BB-8's authoritative querying. The R2 unit remained as it was, silent, unmoving, and unresponsive. In the main conference room, C-3PO worked on BB-8's flank while Han and several officers looked on. Complying with the protocol droid's orders, BB-8 obediently opened a locked and sealed port on its side.
Oh, thank you. That's it.
Reaching in, C-3PO removed a tiny device. Turning, he inserted it into a matching slot in the multi-sided table projector that dominated the center of the room. Immediately, a three-dimensional map filled the space above the flat-topped apparatus with stars, nebulae, and other stellar phenomena. Leia studied the display intently, but though her eyes roved knowledgeably through the compacted cosmos, she failed to find what she was looking for. Her dissatisfaction was unmistakable.
While he was in his own way equally disappointed, C-3PO was not programmed to display it. Instead, he merely expressed a rational regret.
General, while I have already completed a preliminary analysis, I'll inform you of my final determination only when I have finished comparing the information available in this map to that in our full database. There, I've finished. Unfortunately, I have to conclude that this map contains insufficient data with which to make a match to any system in our records.
From a corner, Han spoke up.
Told you.
Leia ignored him.
What a fool I was to think we could just find Luke and bring him back.
He moved toward her.
Leia.
She growled at him.
Don't do that.
It stopped him cold.
Do what?
Her voice was flat.
Be nice to me.
Whirling, she stomped off. More than a little bewildered, he followed. Though he caught up to her easily, she didn't stop, nor did she look in his direction.
Hey, I'm here to help,
he told her. She continued to march forward, her gaze set straight ahead.
When did that ever help? And don't say the Death Star.
Frustrated, he stepped out in front of her to block her path. When he spoke again, his tone softened until he was almost pleading, as much as Han Solo was capable of pleading.
Will you just stop and listen to me for a minute? Please?
The change in tone did more to mollify her than anything else. She eyed him impatiently.
I'm listening, Han.
I didn't plan on coming here, he explained. I know whenever you look at me, you're reminded of him. So I stayed away.
She stared at him, shaking her head slowly.
That's what you think? That I don't want to be reminded of him? That I want to forget him? I want him back.
What could he say to that? What possible response could he give to a willful denial of reason?
He's gone, Leia. He was always drawn to the dark side. There was nothing we could have done to stop it, no matter how hard we tried.
His final words were the hardest to get out.
There was too much Vader in him.
That's why I wanted him to train with Luke, Leia said.
I just never should have sent him away. That's when I lost him. When I lost you both.
Han dipped his head.
We both had to deal with it in our own way. He shrugged. I went back to the only thing I was ever good at.
We both did,
Leia admitted. He met her eyes steadily.
We've lost our son. Forever.
Leia bit her lower lip, refusing to concede.
No. It was Snoke.
Han drew back slightly.
Snoke?
She nodded.
He knew our child would be strong with the Force. That he was born with equal potential for good or evil.
You knew this from the beginning? Why didn't you tell me?
She sighed. Many reasons. I was hoping that I was wrong. That it wasn't true. I hoped I could sway him. Turn him away from the dark side without having to involve you.
A small smile appeared.
You have wonderful qualities, Han. But patience and understanding were never among them. I was afraid that your reactions would only drive him farther to the dark side. I thought I could shield him from Snoke's influence, and you from what was happening.
Her voice dropped.
It's clear now that I was wrong. Whether your involvement would have made a difference, we'll never know.
So Snoke was watching our son?
Always, she told him. From the shadows. In the beginning. Even before I realized what was happening. He was manipulating everything. Pulling our son toward the dark side. But nothing's impossible, Han. Not even now, at this late time. I have this feeling that if anyone can save him, it's you.
He wanted to laugh derisively. If he did, he knew she might never speak to him again.
Me? No. If Luke couldn't reach him with all his skills and training, how can I?
She was nodding slowly.
Luke is a Jedi, but you're his father. There's still light in him. I know it.
A complex restraining apparatus held Rey upright against an angled platform in the cell. She woke slowly. Disoriented, at first she thought she was alone. Her oversight was understandable, since the other person in the holding area did not move, did not make a sound, and at times scarcely seemed to breathe. Though startled by his unsettlingly silent presence, she took a moment to take stock of her surroundings. They were as different as could be imagined from her previous ones. The last thing she remembered was the confrontation in the forest on Takodana, the sounds of battle and sending away the droid BB-8. That, and then the mind probe. The pain, her efforts to shut it out, and the contemptuous ease with which her mental defenses had been brushed aside. Even now, there was a lingering ache at the back of her eyes. The forest was gone. So was Maz's castle. Bereft of a point of reference, she had no choice but to ask.
Where am I?
Does the physical location really matter so much?
In Kylo Ren's voice, there was unexpected gentleness. Not quite sympathy, but something less than the hostility with which he had confronted her in the forest.
You're my guest.
With an ease that was more frightening than any physical approach, he waved casually in her direction. A couple of clicks, and the restraints fell away from her arms. She tried to take the demonstration in stride as she rubbed her wrists, The last thing she wanted was for him to think he could intimidate her any more than he already had. Looking around the room, she confirmed that they were alone.
Where are the others? The ones who were fighting with me?
He sniffed disdainfully.
You mean the traitors, murderers, and thieves you call friends? Consider carefully now. I could easily tell you they were all killed, righteously slain in battle. But I would prefer to be honest with you from the beginning. You will be relieved to hear that as far as their current status and well-being is concerned, I have no idea.
She stared at him. Though at the moment he was calm, she could not escape the feeling that a wrong word, an unsatisfactory response, might set him off.
Be very careful with this person, she told herself.
He looked at her as if she had just spoken aloud. For all the chance she had of hiding her emotions from him, she realized, she might as well have voiced her thoughts.
You still want to kill me?
Her true self got the better of her, and she replied tactlessly, despite the danger.
That happens when you're being hunted by a creature in a mask.
She had a moment to ponder his possible reaction and to fear it. But he did not do what she expected. Instead, he reached up, unlatched, and removed his mask. She just stared at him in silence. In itself, the narrow face that looked back at her was not remarkable. It was almost sensitive. If not for the intensity of his gaze, Ren could have passed for someone she might have met on the dusty streets of Nima Outpost. But there was that gaze. That and what lay simmering behind it.
Is it true?
He finally asked.
You're just a scavenger.
She didn't respond, and perhaps sensing her embarrassment, he changed the subject.
Tell me about the droid.
She swallowed.
It's a BB unit, with a selenium drive and a thermal hyperscan vindicator, internal self-correcting gyroscopic propulsion system, optics corrected to...
I am familiar with general droid technical specifications. I don't need to acquire one. What I want is located in its memory. It's carrying a section of a transgalactic navigational chart. We have the rest, recovered from the archives of the Empire. We need the last piece. Somehow you convinced the droid to show it to you. You, a simple, solitary scavenger. How is that?
She looked away.
How did he know that?
By the same means he had used to learn everything else?
I know you've seen the map,
he repeated.
It's what I need. At the moment, it is all that I need.
When she maintained her silence, he almost sighed.
I can take whatever I want.
Her muscles tightened.
Then you don't need me to tell you anything.
True, he rose resigned.
I would have preferred to avoid this. Despite what you may believe, it gives me no pleasure. I will go as easily as possible. But I will take what I need.
She knew that trying to resist him physically would not only be useless, but would likely result in unpleasantness of a kind she preferred not to imagine. So she remained motionless and silent, her arms at her sides, as his hand rose toward her face. He touched her again, as he had in the forest on Takodana, and hesitated.
What was that? Something there. Something unexpected.
As she strained to resist the probe, he pushed into her, brushing aside her awkward attempts to keep him out. While he investigated her mind, he spoke softly.
"You've been so lonely,"
he murmured as he searched for what he needed.
"So afraid to leave."
A thin smile crossed his face.
"At night, desperate to sleep, you'd imagine an ocean. I can see it. I can see the island."
Tears were streaming down her face from the effort she was making to withstand him.
Increasingly desperate, she did try to strike out. But just as on Takodana, her body refused to respond.
"And Han Solo,"
Ren continued relentlessly.
"He feels like the father you never had."
"A dead end, that vision. Let it go. I can tell you for a fact, he would have disappointed you." All the rage and terror bottled up inside her came out as she turned to meet his stare.
"Get out of my head!"
It only made him lean in closer, enhancing her feeling of complete helplessness.
"Ray, you've seen the map. It's in there, and I am going to take it. Don't be afraid."
Where the strength to defy him came from, she did not know. But if anything, her voice grew a little stronger.
"I'm not giving you anything."
His response reflected his unconcern.
"We'll see."
Narrowing his gaze and his focus, he locked eyes with her. She met his stare without trying to look away. She should have looked away. It would have been the rational thing to do, the sane thing to do. Instead, she just glared, trying not to flinch, not to blink.
"Ah,"
he thought to himself.
"Something there of interest."
Not the image of the map. That would take another moment. But definitely something worth investigating. He shifted his perception toward it, seeking to identify, to analyze, to... The barrier he encountered stopped him cold. And it was he, Kylo Ren, who blinked. It made no sense. He pushed hard with his mind, and the probe went nowhere.
A look of amazement replaced the fear on Rey's face as she discovered herself inside his mind.
Stunned at the realization, she found herself inexorably drawn to
"You,"
she heard herself saying clearly.
"You're afraid that you'll never be as strong as Darth Vader."
His hand pulled sharply away from her cheek, as if her skin had suddenly turned white hot. Confused, rattled, he stumbled back from her. Her gaze followed him. Her eyes were the same, but something else had changed. Something behind them. In her stare and in her posture. He moved to leave and, at the last moment, gestured powerfully in her direction. The restraints that had held her wrists snapped back into place, once again securing her to the inclined platform. Then he once again donned his mask and was gone. In the corridor, a stunned Ren found that he was breathing hard. That in itself was unsettling. He did not know what had just transpired in the holding cell, and, not knowing, was left uncertain how to proceed. He was spared further bewilderment when a trooper appeared coming toward him. Straightening, Ren gathered himself. The trooper halted. His evident discomfort at having to speak to Ren bolstered his superior's shaken persona.
"Sir? The Supreme Leader has requested your presence."
Ren nodded and headed off in the necessary direction, accompanied by the trooper. The latter did not pay any attention when the tall figure he was escorting looked back over his shoulder. In the holding cell, Rey relaxed against the platform. That she could relax at all was significant in itself. Something of great consequence had just taken place. How and what, she did not know. Even in her present situation, she felt encouraged, though why that should be was still uncertain. One thing was clear. She was going to be given time to contemplate it. In the main conference room of the base on Dakar, an ongoing strategy session had brought together the leaders of the Resistance. Leia, Poe, C-3PO, Han, and an assortment of senior officers, including Statura and Akbar, were assembled around a three-dimensional map of an isolated, frozen planet that up until now had not been worth a hopeful visit from a minor trading ship. Finn was present too, since it was his information about the world in question that had prompted the gathering.
The scan data from Captain Snap Wexley's reconnaissance flight confirms everything Finn has told us,
Poe announced to the group. Wexley spoke up.
They've built a new kind of hyperspace weapon within the planet itself. Something that can fire across interstellar distances in the equivalent of real time.
His expression showed his incredulity.
I've had my share of technical training, but I can't even imagine how that's possible.
This time, Finn responded.
I can't either. But those of us assigned to the base heard rumors that it doesn't operate in what we'd call normal hyperspace. It fires through a hole in the continuum that it makes itself. Everybody was calling it sub-hyperspace. That's how it can arrive in moments across a distance like that between the base and the Hosnian system. The amount of energy required to do that is...
His voice dropped.
Well, we've seen how much energy is involved. All I know is that it involves a lot of zeros following the primary number.
Wexley nodded slowly.
We're not sure how to describe a weapon of this scale. Our people have come up with some ideas regarding the rapid overheating and subsequent implosion of a planetary core. But the mechanism to induce that, so far, escapes them.
One of the oldest officers in the room gestured sharply, a look of horror on his face.
It's another Death Star!
Poe's expression tightened.
I wish that were the case, Major Emat. But in analyzing everything Finn has told us, and coupling that with the information we have been able to gather, this is what we are facing.
He waved a hand over a nearby control. An image of the Death Star appeared beside that of the frozen world.
This was the Death Star,
the pilot observed. Another control, and the image shrank, down to near nothing, until it was a small sphere beside the cold planet.
This is what Finn tells us is called Star Killer Base.
Leia stared at the invidious imagery. If not for the harsh fact that tens of millions of deaths were involved, the side-by-side comparison would have been laughable. Once more, memories of the destruction of Alderaan flooded back, and once more she had to force them aside.
How can they power a weapon of such magnitude? She asked.
Poe and Akbar looked to Finn. Unsure of himself, he hesitated. He was no scientist, no engineer, not even a technician. Yes, he had overheard a number of related conversations, but given what was riding on what, up until now, had been only hearsay to him, he was reluctant to share them. Sensing his hesitation, Leia was quick to prompt him.
Finn, please, speak up.
He looked across at her.
I'm not sure of the authenticity of what I've heard or been told.
Whatever it is, it's volumes more than anything we know,
she assured him.
Tell us, and let our technical people be the judge of your words.
Taking a deep breath, he gestured at the image of the base.
As you already know, I was assigned there. In the course of performing my duties, I was rotated to multiple locations around the planet. One is on the side opposite from where the weapon is discharged.
An incredulous Datura cut him off.
The weapon system is situated on both sides of the planet?
Finn looked at the Admiral.
Not only is it located on both sides, the system actually runs through the planetary core.
Murmurs of disbelief rose from those gathered around the projection console.
As near as I understand it, Finn continued, enormous arrays of specially designed collectors use the power of a sun to attract and send dark energy to a containment unit at the core of the planet, where it's held and built up inside that containment unit until the weapon is ready to fire.
Impossible,
Akbar insisted.
Although we know there is more dark energy in the universe than anything else, and that it exists everywhere around us, it is so diffuse that it can barely be detected, let alone concentrated.
Finn persisted, despite the discomfort he felt at disagreeing with someone of Akbar's rank and experience.
It can be, and it is,
he responded with certainty. Statura, at least, seemed ready to believe.
If the engineering could be worked out, he observed, one would have access to an almost literally infinite source of energy.
Finn nodded.
General Hux told us it's the most powerful weapon ever built. He said that it can reach halfway across the galaxy.
Fresh murmurs of disbelief greeted this latest assertion.
And in real time. Because it doesn't reach across the galaxy, it reaches through it.
He shook his head, which was starting to hurt from the effort of trying to explain what he had overheard but did not understand. Han Solo understood all right. Understood what had to be done.
Okay. So it's impossible and it's big. How do we blow it up?
The attention in the room shifted to him. His expression was knowing.
I don't care how big it is. There's always a way to do that.
Having cut through the science, he waited for suggestions. None were forthcoming.
We have to wait until the technical staff have run their detailed analysis, Wexley said. Then, once they've done that...
Leia cut him off. Han grinned, but not so she could see it. She was good at cutting people off. He knew.
We don't have time to wait on analyses and scientific hypotheses. Han's right. We have to act, and act now.
He eyed her in surprise, and concealed that reaction, too.
This is the moment that counts, she continued. Everything we've ever fought for is at stake. We can't wait on theories. We need something, anything, so we can fight back.
She straightened.
We have to take this weapon down before it can be used again.
It was not surprising to her that it was Datura, the most senior officer in the room with an actual scientific background, who finally put forth the notion.
I can't prove this, but for this amount of power to be restrained until such time as it is released or fired, there has to be some new, advanced kind of containment field.
He nodded toward Finn.
Our friend here confirms as much. The question is, what kind of field?
I heard that it involved the planet's own magnetic field,
Finn told him.
And something more.
Yes, yes.
Statura was deep in thought.
A planetary magnetic field, even a strong one, would not be enough to contain the amount of energy that we have seen deployed. Also, as you say, Finn, there is more involved.
I am thinking some kind of oscillating field.
If it oscillates rapidly enough, much less energy would be required to sustain it than if it was maintained at a steady state.
I don't know about stuff like that.
Finn leaned into the holographic map and enlarged a section of planetary surface until a massive hexagonal structure came into view.
but this is where the containment and oscillation field control system is located.
Statura was most pleased.
Excellent, Mr. Finn.
The Admiral's gaze traveled around the circle of colleagues.
But disabling this, while a relatively straightforward proposition,